You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. This is our show before Christmas. And boy, do we have an action-packed show today. A really fun show. We're going to have our friend, our ABWA sister, Char Good, is on her way here. She's going to be coming in soon in the studio. She's going to carry her violin.
Amazing violin.
So she's going to be here to sing and perform for us, our listening audience. And I have an author who's calling in from New York, I think. I'm not sure. I never know where my friends are calling in from. Taryn Grimes is an award-winning writer, director, producer, and she creates projects for television, film, and digital media. She's going to be calling in. She also has credits to her name that includes an HBO documentary, The Bronx, USA, which starred Alan Alda, General Colin Powell. She also had, that show actually also had people like Rob Reiner, Melissa Manchester, Robert Klein, and Hal Linden. And she also had another documentary under her name. It's called If You're Not in the Orbit, Eat Breakfast, starring Mel Brooks, Dick Van Dyke, Norman Lear, Carl Reiner, Tony Bennett, and Jerry Seinfeld. So she's calling in a little bit. And she sent me a book called Inappropriate Laughter, which I read. It's a book about the story of loss, grief, and guilt. And Ellen, tell our listeners how they can tune in and listen to our show online, because we know here in Brevard, they can tune in on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and AM 1510.
That's right. And also 101.7, right?
1510.
What's the other one? What's the 100?
100.7.
Yeah, I think you missed that one. Anyway, but yeah, three FM stations, one AM station, and also online. If you are on your phone and you just want to go to 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that on-demand button, get us live. Of course, all of our shows are archived there as well for the last year. And hard to believe we're coming up to another end of another beautiful year.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to everybody. As a matter of fact, I've been telling everybody, merry everything.
Right.
Whatever it is that you celebrate, whatever you want to celebrate, enjoy it all.
Right. And I tend
feel
to...
Feel good.
I know Taryn is on the phone. We'll go to her in a second. But I just wanted to tell our listeners, as we bring 2021 to a close, what a fabulous year it's been for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our sponsors came through, and all our shows were sponsored. We were able to... help our studio here to pay for our airtime, make sure that Paul gets paid. We have a clean studio. It's magnificent the way he takes care of things
truly
around
blessed.
Here.
Yes.
And also, I want to say thank you to you, Ellen O'Neill. Correct?
Very good. Thank
correct?
You. She said it right.
And Samantha Nazario for co-hosting with me. It's been a pleasure. We've had guests, politicians. We've had many authors. I love authors.
Being
an author myself,
I'm
going to focus a lot on having the authors call in as well, because they all have a story to tell, and it's always something near and dear to my heart. Next year, we're booking people. I have a lot of professors who want to call in and speak about science-oriented things, speak about COVID-19, speak about Alzheimer's, dementia, things of that nature. I also have a lot of great friends that actually appreciate the fact that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we speak about issues right here in Brevard County, Florida, and we speak about issues all over the world that are happening all over the world, like climate change and environmental stuff and women's rights, planning families. And so people have reached out to say, well, they'd like to sponsor certain shows, which is really good. So I want to say thank you to all our sponsors. MedFast is my number one sponsor. They are going to be renewing their contract with us to advertise year-round next year. Is Dixie Crossroads. So is Cloud Nine Sleep Shop. I've reached out to Jotkoff and Associates as well. But I find that I have a lot of small donors, too, that enjoy the shows. Because, you know, when your heart is pure and you want good things for fellow human beings, it's very easy to have a radio show. Because I have no hidden agenda on the show, neither do you two.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of nice that to be able to agree to disagree peacefully and respectfully and have a show and be grateful that Paul gives us a voice here on the radio on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we want to thank the owner of our station, Kim Cassius, as well, for giving us this opportunity. So thanks to everybody. Now, I love Christmas. I am not Christian. I'm Hindu, but I love Christmas because we grew up on Christmas in the islands. Everybody celebrated Christmas. And Christmas to me signifies a time of the year when the year is coming to a close and people are happy and they're cleansing their spirit and their soul and cleaning their homes and sharing whatever little they have with their friends and family. And my parents were not wealthy people with 18 kids, but we had a Christmas. We had each other. Mm-hmm. We didn't have gifts. We didn't have a good tree.
Right.
We broke a branch. And we
but
just,
you did what Christmas is truly about. Supposed to be about. Family.
Well, you know what we did, and I shared a story with our listeners every year. We would take a dry branch, and we would save. You know, when people would buy cigarettes in our shop, they would flick that little piece of that silver part on the from on the box on the ground, and we would pick up that little silver piece, and we would save it. And then at the end of the year, we had hundreds and hundreds of tiny little pieces of tinsel foil there. And that's what we put on our Christmas tree.
That's so cool.
And so we did that, and then we took an old paint can, and we put some soil in it, and we stuck our branch in there, and that was our Christmas tree. And because all the people in our village who were Christians, they would all go to church, and we got involved in the church as well, and we sang Christmas carols with our friends, and we went to church. And it's just, in Trinidad, people celebrate everything. You know, and so my father would sell goods in the store to people who didn't have money. We knew some of them weren't going to pay, but it was okay because people needed to feed their families at Christmas. So for me, it's just a happy time. But anyways, enough
of
the Christmas.
My favorite part about Christmas is the fact that usually it is the one day that everybody takes off.
Yes.
Right? So everybody's home and to get, right, there's no running anywhere. There's no going anywhere. You stay in your pajamas as long as you want and you get to spend time.
Well, not for us nurses. I found out that we are very short on Christmas Day. I was supposed to be off the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th, but I literally offered to go in on Christmas Day to take care of our patients in the nursing home. My daughter is going to be doing a Christmas dinner, so I'll go there after work, and I'm doing a big one on Boxing Day.
But it's all about the family part.
But my family, part of my family, are my residents in the nursing facilities, and I've spent pretty much, I've been in the United States 38 years, and I want to say I've spent 32 of those years at the nursing homes that I've worked in. I always, because their families are no longer there. A lot of them don't have families, and so I am their family, so I spend it with them. And then I go home and cook and take it myself. But anyway, Karen is on the phone.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you.
Hello. It's so nice to meet all of you virtually.
Yeah. You know what? What state are you calling in from?
New York.
That's what I thought. Ha-ha. Taryn.
Yeah.
T with a T.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, Taryn with a T, yeah. So, Taryn, you know, I just told our listeners a little bit about you. I did read your book, Inappropriate Laughter, and I felt like your family is actually my family, and I am your sister Maureen. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yeah. She's a head honcho in the group. She keeps everybody in line. But so besides writing this book, you do a lot of writing. You do a lot of, you're producing. You're directed a lot of shows. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we delve into the book.
Well, I grew up in a family of seven, which is why I relate to you so much, although I'm humbled by your number of 18.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like I'm from a small family. But we all grew up singing and entertaining ourselves because we didn't have any other way to keep ourselves occupied And my mother used to drive around during the day from 9 to 5 to avoid having the electric company turn off the electricity. Because back then, if you weren't home, you didn't, they couldn't turn off electricity. So we would drive around in the car, and in order to entertain ourselves, you know, we'd be, there's a whole bunch of kids, and we're whining, and my mother would say, "Sing, kids, sing." So we all learned to sing in harmony, and I grew up, by the time I was 9, I was performing. And it was another way, I would basically sing for our supper. We'd go out to a dinner lounge kind of a thing with a piano player, and everybody would eat dinner, and there would be a trio up there. And I'd perform, and then we'd get a free meal.
Yeah, I read that in your book. I'm like, that's pretty nice. And then sometimes you were lucky, and you guys would get a few more people than just you and mom and dad to eat with you guys. Yeah.
Yes, and I always ordered the swordfish for some reason. I thought that was the fancy way of doing it. And I grew up, and I was very lucky to be encouraged by my parents, and I ended up as a Broadway film and television actress. I loved doing that. I had good humbling success. I did well. And then there was a point where I wanted to make that transition into writing and producing. So I started writing my own shows and producing them, and that went well for a while. And I always had an interest in documentaries, and I ended up working for the past 25 years as a documentary film producer and a screenwriter, and now writing books as well. The last documentary that I had done was, I was supervising producer for a lovely documentary that aired on HBO called The Bronx USA.
I'm from the Bronx. This is Samantha, and that was absolutely an amazing documentary.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. Thank you. It was an honor to work on that one. The thing that meant the most to me was introducing the class of 1949 in that high school at Clinton High School
mm-hmm.
to the class of 2017, and seeing, despite the generational differences, the support of the class of 1949 being so supportive of that incredibly diverse group of young students. And that, I think, for me, just made me feel like that it was a good piece of work.
My favorite part of that documentary was them teaching the young kids how to play stickball. I thought that was so awesome. It was just amazing. And they got the kids engaged, and it kept them busy through the Bronx history and how friendships last, how friendships are eternal.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's funny, that scene, we didn't know how that scene was going to work out, because when he first got up there, you saw in the film, he was like, "These kids don't know what I'm talking about. Why are we teaching?" But then suddenly when they got that stick in their hand and the excitement of hitting the ball and the kids went crazy, and our older generation was cheering them on. And, you know, that was one of my favorite scenes too, actually. It was a fun movie, and I've been really lucky to work with that particular company, Gold Entertainment Media Group, and, you know, the director, Danny Gold, is amazing, and the whole crew, everybody is wonderful. And so it's been wonderful for me to be able to have a little bit of my own diversity in regard to the industry, because I've been on both sides of the camera, and now I'm writing as well. And, you know, the book was something that I decided to do specifically because I wanted to explore, you know, all aspects of creativity.
Well, you are creative, but, you know, before we go to the book, I wanted to say you've actually met Robert Downey Jr., and I love him.
Yes.
Yes.
It was decades ago, but he was 17, I was 18, and I played opposite him in an off-Broadway show. And it was wonderful, and he was such a nice person. I remember him to be incredibly sweet and funny, and really supportive and great to work opposite. And the funny part of that story is that, you know, I've done a lot of things in my career, but it wasn't until my children found out that I performed every night and kissed Robert Downey Jr., kissed Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Yeah. I was like, what? She's pretty much done a lot of stuff that I probably would have enjoyed doing myself, you know.
No, Mom got kudos for kissing Iron Man.
Yeah. So
I work that every once in a while.
So what is the scene like right now in New York City? Because we're hearing, due to the Omicron, that we just read where Broadway shows were canceled. We read where Saturday Night Live had to cancel their live audience. And right, what's happening right now in your neck of the woods up there?
Well, you know, this area, I moved a little farther out just recently, but for the most part in New York, I mean, New Yorkers are resilient.
Yes.
And they're also smart because they were hit hard during, you know, in 2020, and hard and fast and immediate. And I have friends who, you know, are in the medical industry and, you know, they were having such a tough time of it because they couldn't avoid being with people. They were going into ERs. My husband's also a journalist covering all of COVID. So he was there during 2020. And I think what they're seeing now is that they're taking it very seriously. Clearly with, you know, what happened on Saturday Night Live. And as you said, the Broadway shows, et cetera, they're taking it very seriously because they've seen it before and they know that they have to trust the science of, you know, taking those precautions of making sure that you're vaccinated and making sure you have a social, you know, keep social distance and wear your masks and everything. And they're taking it very seriously because this is an incredibly serious situation.
Yeah, I know. Every time I think about it, I think about how my mom used to say, an ounce of precaution is better than a pound of cure.
That's exactly,
and that
true.
Is so true. When you think about what they're doing right now, I'm like, okay, they're just following what they used to say a long time ago, you know, always. Mm-hmm. They would say that, right? So yesterday, I had to put a patient on hospice, and I thought about you. And I was like, oh, my God, was she? I can't believe I'm thinking about, and I thought about your mom, and I thought about the letters that she wrote to your dad. And I love the way you wove that into your book, and because you gave us, the readers, a little bit of your mom and dad just before he went off to the service for us, you know. And so what prompted you to just write this book? Because, I mean, there was more siblings and everybody had these same experiences with your mom. But you decided to yourself, you know what, I'm going to put it in words.
Well, yes, you know, there are the facts of someone passing, you know, that what you have to go through in dealing with the actual fact, the physical and medical realities of what you deal with. And then there's the emotional journey that one experiences when taking a loved one through the process, which is something we all have in common. That no matter what, we all end up in that position. You know, we're all going to die, and most people don't like to admit that or talk about it, but it's the truth. And you can't necessarily fully prepare for the emotional experience you're going to have because you don't know what that's going to be. But what you can prepare for is the fact, the process of what's going to happen. And when my siblings and I experienced my mother passing, what I noted was that everybody handled it in a completely different way. And I was very proud of the way my siblings and I respected the process of each one of us. And that's part of the reason I was prompted to write the book, because I think it's important for us to share those stories, just everyone, you know, all humans, to share those stories of what they experienced, because perhaps it will alleviate a little bit of the stress or the guilt, which guilt is unavoidable in this situation. You never really feel, or at least I didn't, that you were doing exactly the right thing.
Or enough.
And or enough or too much. There's a passage in the book where, you know, I'm a theatrical person. So when I was with my mother, I was alone with her, it seemed like she may be passing. And I expected, you know, that scene in the movie where she goes towards the light and I comfort her and it's a beautiful, I shed a tear and she looked up at me like I was the most horrible person. She looked up at me like, I am not going yet. So stop with the
talk. Yeah, she wasn't ready. Yeah, I read that.
Taran, let's talk about the title. Most people don't think about laughter when they think about death. Why did you choose that title?
It felt right because we laughed throughout the entire process. And with that laughter, you know, laughter is a defense mechanism and it's also a very comforting way to handle difficult situations. And my family, we grew up in a perpetually difficult situation. Sometimes not enough food, sometimes homeless, some, you know, always financially struggling. And laughter and entertainment was of great comfort to us. And I chose that title, Inappropriate Laughter, because I wanted people to know that it's okay if you find humor in difficult situations. And if you don't, it would be surprising to me. There have been times that I've spoken to a lot of people since I wrote the book who have said goodbye to a loved one. And the first thing they say to me every single time is, that made me feel so much better because when my mother was in the hospital, this happened and we were all laughing hysterically. And then the nurse walked in and looked at us like we were horrible human beings. And this reminded me that it's okay to find some kind of
closure. Humanity, and it's closure as well. So when you wrote the book, who did you have in mind? And said, well, this book would be my target audience would be for people who are losing a loved one, or maybe you thought people who need to handle grief. A lot of people just don't know how to handle grief. Who were your target audience specifically?
I specifically felt like, men and women in that 50 to 60 year old range who are most likely preparing to for that. You know, this is a huge moment in people's lives when we say goodbye to our parents. And it can be very traumatic. It can be very emotionally moving. It can be a positive goodbye. It can be a negative goodbye. We don't know how that's going to turn out. So I basically wrote it hoping that anybody who was taking their parents through I don't want to say iconic, but really incredibly poignant point in their lives of saying goodbye to their families and moving on. I wanted to write it for them. I wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity to see someone else go through it and maybe learn a little bit about what they could do to prepare or comfort them in the unexpected emotional experiences they would have going through the process.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Taran Grimes, and she is an award-winning writer, director, producer, and she also wrote a book called Inappropriate Laughter. It's a book about the loss of grief and guilt. And what I like about your book, too, is you included all your sisters and brothers in this 7-day journey where your mom started the death and dying process. And did you have any family members that after the book was written had an opinion one way or the other about maybe you should have written it or you should not have written it? Was there any pushback?
Well, that's a great question. I expected there to be some kind of pushback, but surprisingly, it was all very supportive. I mean, we all look at this process differently, and I did have one or two siblings who would rather not think about it, which is understandable. And they loved the book. They loved the story. It wasn't something they necessarily wanted to dwell on because we do all handle these things differently. And I was very honest about what we were all going through, or at least you know, from my perspective. I was really pleasantly surprised to hear my family members be so supportive of the fact that I was sharing it, and also have a sense of humor about themselves within the
story. We have about 1 minute left. Where can our listeners find your book, Miss Taryn Grimes? It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I'm in awe at how much stuff you've done, and I'd love to have you call back in sometime, you know, maybe in June or July, but tell our listeners where they can find your book, Inappropriate Laughter.
You can find it on Amazon, amazon.com, Inappropriate Laughter, a story about grief. What did I say? About loss.
Grief and guilt.
I forgot the title. Yes, on amazon.com. And yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to all of you.
Well, thank you for taking the time to call in. Stay safe. We will spread the word about your book and your beautiful soul. Say hello to your sister Maureen and all your brothers and sisters. And also, really quick, do you have any books, other books in the making?
I do. I'm writing another book. Right now, the working title is How to Stay Married to a Journalist.
That's funny. We have some friends that need that.
I may need him to call in one day and share his story about COVID with us too. So
that's fantastic. Yes. Thank you, Taryn Grimes, for joining us today. And make sure that you read her bio on our show website, cedamediainc.com. We have all of that information. It will also be shared to Facebook as well under CEDA Media. So thank you so much. And we're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and then we'll be right back with our ABWA sister, Char Good.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture. 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9, mattress and furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast urgent care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 5000, 321-268 5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and on the World Wide Web. All our listeners who tuned in just heard from our friend, Taryn Grimes, who is wrote a book about the story of loss, grief, and guilt. And boy, what a creative human being she is, Ellen. Yeah. And now we've got our own ABWA sister, Char Good, who is the daughter of a South African and a Floridian. Amazing news for me, because I always like when I meet people who are here from other places. I feel like an instant closeness with the immigrant community. And Char moved from her father's home country to her parents' favorite surf spot, Melbourne, Florida. Now, it's such a long bio, but it's great, and we'll have her tell us a little bit about herself. And you still look like you're in high school, by the way. It doesn't look like you graduated from Satellite, went to UCF, has a degree in music, and now you're a businesswoman who's got your own music, I mean, shows. You're doing it nightly. I mean, you're performing, and it's amazing. I feel like I need to feed you, because you don't have time. You're booked steady all the time. So, Char, tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did you get started in this vision of your music career?
Thank you so much, Sita. Thank you for having me today. Anytime you want to feed me after Christmas, after the new year, I'll come over for some
food. That's it.
All right, perfect. So, yes, my name is Char. I play a 5-string electric violin. And I have a degree, a bachelor's of applied science in business organizational management from Eastern Florida State College. I use that to run my business, which is playing music full time, singing and playing violin at weddings, private parties, celebrations of life, assisted living, senior livings. And then restaurants, bars, and now the Hotel Melby every Wednesday night in December.
Yes, and I see Ellen is just going to jump right in here, because my friend Ellen O'Neill also sings and performs, and it's amazing how far she's come as well. I said this morning, I didn't know Melbourne had that many spots
for
people.
Talent. Yeah, but there's so many places in town, and Char plays everywhere. She plays at the Fresh Bistro down Satellite Beach. I mean, so many places that I've seen her, and other friends have seen her. I've seen a million videos. So it's awesome, because the music industry is alive and well, and it is. People don't think about that being a solopreneur type of an event, where you are, you know, you're not an entrepreneur, you're a solopreneur.
Yeah.
And you have to go out and you have to promote yourself, and you have to go out
and she does.
And it is a whole business. It's
right,
not
right.
It, there's no joke. It's not.
And what I like about what you do, what Char does, is a lot of your performances, due to the lockdown and the coronavirus and all that, you can play on people's back porch.
Yes.
And I love that. Yes. People can pretty much lounge around in their own backyard and listen to you and feel like they've gone somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's like you bring all that artistic work to them at home. And it's beautiful. You brought it to us at ABWA for Christmas.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe you could sing in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what?
That was for me.
Yeah. I was like, girl. Yeah. So when you decided that you were going to music, how did your parents feel about that? Because, you know, a lot of parents, they don't think that music could be like a business, but you've proven them wrong.
Oh, my parents, luckily, they're very supportive. And I have a brother who also plays violin and sings beautifully. So my mom and dad are always encouraging my brother Henry and I to sing and play together. We have sing-alongs at our house, and we just love music as a family. My mom is very educated as far as music history. She was always introducing us to classical music from a young age, jazz. My dad loves 70s rock, and so he was introducing us to Elton John from a young age. So Henry and I, we love a good melody. We love a good song that moves people.
You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of Billie Eilish and her brother.
Oh, sure.
Because that's what Maggie did. She encouraged her children's artistic side. And I've said this on the radio before. My son would have fit in with your family or their family.
Yeah, right.
Because I did not let him explore his artistic side for reading and music. And now I feel terrible because we have all these wonderful guests that come on and talk about their music career or writing or poetry or art. And I'm like, why was I like not into that? You know, it's like just learned behavior, I think, cultural.
Mikey broke out, though.
Yeah, he sure did.
He still made it.
He's in L.A. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a music mom, so I watch Char, and it's like looking into the future 4 years from now with Tyler. Cause
it's wonderful. I'm so proud of you. I really am. So what are you finding this Christmas people want the most? Are people looking just for Christmas carols and holiday music, or some people just want music from the past that reminds them of summer? Because music often reminds us of a time that's past. Maybe a song that our parents loved or a loved one. What are you finding? Is it a variety?
That's really insightful. Some people have said to me, oh, I feel like we haven't heard Christmas songs, Christmas carols this year. And I think because we were in lockdown last year, December 2020, we did miss seeing live music out and about, hearing live music. But like you said, songs that bring people back, that their parents love, that they love because it brought them back to their wedding day or, you know, when they first met. That's what I love playing for couples and people who come to my shows.
So you don't just play for events. You would play for smaller crowds. You would play from maybe 4 or 5 people to 100 people, maybe 400. Yeah. So it's not limited. Your business is not limited to just events. If someone wanted you to play for them in at their home with just guests, like, say, Cedar McGee next year, you could do that for me.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
She has great parties.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, I should have done that this year. I don't know why I didn't think about it.
See?
You know, I had that girl, Carolyn Hinton, at my house once for Christmas, and she sang Christmas carols and all that. It was wonderful. So that we'll have to book her next year. So what can you play today for listeners that can be picked up on audio, where Paul here would make sure it gets on air so people can tune in and listen, right?
Today I brought my 5-string electric violin, and I have Silent Night, which is a classic. I think everybody
that's a favorite. In Trinidad and Tobago, Silent Night, and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. I mean, you hear that all the time on Christmas Day. So let's go, Paul. She's going to play Silent Night.
All right.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Just awesome.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah, I know.
You just get wrapped right up into it. Like, you can't even, like, take your eyes off.
I know.
And unfortunately, we're on radio, so you're missing the whole performance part. And if you have not seen Chargood out, you need to go see her. Her website is chargood.com. And I'll let you talk about that in a little bit as well.
Right.
But you can get her entire schedule on for the year and for next year. And, of course, she's a resident now at the Melby.
That's right.
Regular Wednesday night for the rest of her life.
So, Char, tell us a little bit about the bookings and how take us through a booking. When someone calls you, what happens? Yeah, oh, I guess we have to ask you again because my question got a little bit muffled there.
It's okay.
So, of course, that's why we say Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is fun, unscripted, informative, and quite educational. And now we're taking it to the next level. We're going to try to help Shaw book her dates. So tell our listeners how they can book and take us through a booking.
Absolutely. Thank you. So it's going to be chargood.com, chargood.com. And so when you visit my website, it'll say Book Chargood Live. There's a form, an application you can fill out whether you want my services for a wedding or a private party or a full band that I offer as well. And then when you send that message to me, I'll receive it. I answer it from my home office, and then we sort out all the details with what I need to bring to play for you. And then we get the booking sorted, and I show up and rock out at your house or wherever you'd like me to play. I did bring my wah pedal. So traditionally, right, the guitar has a wah pedal, but I, on my electric violin, am hopefully changing the world of violin music with rock.
So how do you keep up?
Yeah, that's an example.
So Shaw, how do you keep up? Because you're not only are you performing, but you're also having to keep up with the financial aspect of your business. You have someone that helps you, like dad and mom, or you do it all?
You know, my dad is a wonderful businessman himself and it's always been an inspiration to me. He is an entrepreneur in the most biggest sense of that word. So I've learned so much from him. But I would say that my degree from Eastern Florida in business helped me, and also the inspiration I get from being part of the American Business Women's Association, Oceanside Charter Chapter.
That's us.
Is a huge help.
So. That's what we do best, Ellen. That's how Ellen and I met. We met there, 13 years ago?
That's right.
And it's been a wonderful friendship since.
And the coolest thing is now I'm involved with the FIT, with the Women's Business Center, and we're actually working on specific programs for solopreneurs. So this year we've probably got the most musicians and the most people who are, you know, not doing this as a hobby anymore. You know, a lot of people were doing a lot of jobs as a hobby kind of thing and not putting it into the business aspect. And musicianship has a whole different side from a business side.
And why
people
not?
People don't take into consideration.
And why not? If you have a talent, a gift,
ability
to make people happy and to make money off your talent, why not? You should.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have a generation of people at home now that are so creative. And they're sitting down at home. I mean, I'm when you're on Facebook or social media, you're watching people sell things and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I saw where people are now hiring someone to just come and dust their home. Just dusting. Like Uber dust. Yeah. Like Uber carpet. You're like Uber and I'm like, what the heck? Who would have thought about that?
I don't think we'll ever get to Uber violin. But
You never know. People have money and they will spend it. So what else can you play for us today? I know you came prepared with a whole bunch of stuff there. It's your show, so you take it away. And Paul will do his thing. We're trying.
Well, that's what happens with what happens with live music sometimes.
It's okay. We'll get it together.
Yeah,
we'll get
absolutely.
It together. We always do, Ellen.
There we go.
And I'm going to do a little dance.
This is like right up your alley, Sita.
Yeah, we have to liven up our Christmas party here at Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. that's what it's all about, right? This is a time of the year for people to be happy and jolly and cheerful.
That's right.
And let the past go. Forgive who didn't forgive you and move on. That's it, right?
Dance the snow off.
That's right. So are you getting people... Yeah, wonderful. Well, we have to keep chatting while she gets her stuff together, Miss Ellen. Because we can't have any dead air because ShawGood.com is paying for her segment.
Here we go.
And we
got
to make sure people go on her website. So,
so think, just, you know, from a physical standpoint, too, people think being a musician is so easy, you get to have so much fun. But think about holding a violin on your arm for 4 hours and doing what she's doing and dancing around and, like, performing and doing all of that. You forget about all of the pieces and parts that are involved in these things.
All moving parts.
All
I love
moving
it when
parts.
Singing and
you know, the best part, yeah. The,
like,
the best part is when you're into it.
Like a guitar. You're like, look at her.
Yeah, exactly.
So now I especially... Do we have time for her to sing one of her Spanish songs?
9 minutes.
We have nine minutes. You know, when you sang that song in Spanish, I was like, oh my gosh.
But they sing in most of them.
You sing in a lot of languages, right?
About
not
seven
just
or
English.
Eight languages,
yeah, I was
right,
just going to say.
That was my vocal performance training from Eastern Florida State College.
Yeah,
as well.
She's a good plug for Eastern Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a proud alumni.
Yes, you are. Yeah. You just bring a lot of joy, Shaw, not just to your ABWA sisters, but for everyone who have heard you at the Hotel Melby or other places. They all speak about you. Do you find that you get most of your bookings from word of mouth?
Yeah, definitely.
That's, yes.
Right? A huge plus being in this community of Melbourne, Florida, Brevard County. It's a wonderfully small community, not in a physical sense, but I think camaraderie is a huge thing here, and local support. People love supporting local, which is a great thing.
Right. Do you venture out of Brevard County, Florida? Like, would you go to other states or maybe Orlando, places like that, if someone wanted a booking?
Yeah.
And they went, I mean, they'll have to compensate you for travel time. Yeah. And make sure you do get compensated because you are worth it.
Thank you.
If I ever hear anybody stiff you, you call me.
They also
and I'll tell them. They better not stiff
you. Sita is a master negotiator.
I just three women here in my corner.
An amazing short film about their... It's called The Journey, right?
Did I get it right? Voyagers.
The Voyagers, and it was about their journey with their work at the Melby, and it was amazing, and it was at the Melbourne Independent Film Festival about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
So who else helps you behind the scenes? Because I would think this is a huge production for you to, you have to get someone to make sure all your equipment is there, someone have to make sure that the song, the playlist is there for what people want. Who helps you when you go to these big, these gigs?
That would be my dad. Yeah.
What a wonderful father.
Number one
roadie.
Awesome.
Everybody should have a dad like your dad.
Best number one dad in the world.
Awesome. Aww. So do you have another piece you wanted to play? I mean, our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends are getting a feast today, right, Paul? I would think. This is awesome. So go for it. Any language you want, even Indian.
We'll work on that. This is a country Christmas song.
Have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree same, dear, if you're not next to me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I have a blue Christmas.
Thank you. Put a lot of reverb on my voice.
What advice would you have for an aspiring singer, a musician, because there's so many children out there, so many people out there that would like to do what you're doing, to say, I have this creative streak and I want to do something with it, but something is holding them back. What would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
My advice would be play every single day, sing every day, go to the middle of the mall, the Melbourne Square Mall, find the biggest acoustics and just sing. Go out to downtown Melbourne, bring your guitar, bring your instrument. Just play on the street. It gives experience. It gives confidence that practicing at home can't give, or you know, working on your craft in private can't give it. You need that boost. You need community. You need support from other people.
You need a village.
You need people
to like this.
And that's what I did.
I do something.
I played publicly in downtown Melbourne. I played with other bands. I didn't just step into this solo career overnight. I definitely have played at other people's gigs, attended other people's gigs, always attend your fellow musicians' gigs, support local, and I have so much support here today, so thank you so much for that.
Did you ever have to compete to get a gig? Like maybe somebody wanted...
There's only one Char Good, Sita.
Because, you know, like sometimes people...
I was going to say, you know, the music community, I got to speak to this, because the music community in Brevard County, for the most part,
supportive.
Is really good. Yes. So, like, bands get booked double booked all the time. It happens. You know, people make mistakes.
Right.
And it's like, you start looking at it, it's like, and a lot of times when we get double booked at our gigs, I always give it... most of the time, I
you
always
let
give
one
it to
go,
the
Miss
other.
Ellen.
Exactly.
You let it go.
Because it's important
right.
that all of us feel that. You know, and if Char was a better fit for a place and they called me, I would probably say, you know something? You probably want Char instead
yes,
of our
yes.
gig. You know, because it's yeah. just different. It's
very
different
generous.
Kind of music.
Yeah,
because
she
it's
said
different.
She even plays yeah. at end-of-life celebrations.
Absolutely.
Which I think is amazing to have somebody with a violin for that because, you know, oftentimes you want that softer music. Mm-hmm. And what she does with the Daily Departed.
There's enough for everybody.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, there's so totally that, enough for
I mean,
everybody.
I think I would want that too, you know. So give us a website one more time if someone is listening and they'd like to book you for an event.
Please. It's chargood.com, chargood.com, like it's all good, .com. My full name is Charlotte Goodman. So there you go. Chargood has been born from the full name.
Yes, she's awesome. She's passionate about what she does, and I think it's awesome that she has reached out to us at ABW because I would not have known about her had she not networked with us.
Yeah.
And that's the power of networking here in Brevard. Mm-hmm. You've got to step out of your comfort zone if you want things done. It's just like our show. We get people that call us from all over the world to be a guest, and it's because I go out and I put myself out there so we can have people on a show to have Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
So Maggie Baird and Billie Eilish, if you're listening to our show like you always are, Char Goods for hire.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she'll come do your gigs all in Florida, I'm sure.
And we have to say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all our listeners and all the people that support our show. And we don't want to misrepresent our show. I don't think they listen to us all the time. But I do know they know we have a radio show here in Brevard County, Florida. We are like the Florida Connection. But anyways, take it away from there, Char. It's been awesome hearing
you.
Samantha, thank you for hosting
Absolutely.
With us. Ellen.
30 seconds. Yep. Thank you so much. Viewpoint
in.
With Sita and Friends each and every Monday right here at 1510 WWBC every Monday at 1 o'clock. Char, take it away.